Good afternoon. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other internet radio talk stations, voices of the people, united we roar. And now, Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm so glad to be back. This is Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein. You can always find me at enchantedself.com. And I'm here today with my two distinguished guests, Martha Trowbridge, who is an expert in inspiration for women in crisis, and Dr. Sandra Prince-Embray, who is director of the Resiliency Center in Allenhurst, New Jersey, and author of the Resiliency Scales for Children and Adolescents, published by Harcourt Assessments Incorporated. And I am the author of a number of books, and my new book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. And I do know everything. You better listen to me, because I have wisdom for women. Okay, now I'll come back into myself. That was just, I was just in character for a second. So anyway, today we are going to discuss the gateways to happiness, the 7 steps, and we will be pursuing them over the next 4 or 5 weeks, and we will have a lot of information to give to you. Next week, which is May 18th, we're going to focus on the enchanted girl, the discovery and excitement, the experimentation that goes with being a girl, which, of course, fits my little girl in the truth. And that's why she's so clear that she's 10, she's smart, and she knows everything. This is a time period when the struggle between a natural sense of oneself has culminated in a sense of mastery, and where there is a sort of moment of glory and integration that's very, very healthy. And then we move on May 25th, to a somewhat more difficult time in many ways, somewhere between the ages of 20 and 35, where a young woman is gaining ground, she's maturing, and yet she is also struggling with the inner and outer conflicts. They have died down maybe a little bit with the stress of initial hormones and excitement of being a teenager, but still there's pressure to marry, to have kids, to really find a way to develop that's consistent with inner wisdom and yet has all of societal pressures just coming down on her very, very heavily. Lots of good things happen, but lots of issues remain unresolved. And then on June 1st, we're going to talk about wisdom gathering, more or less in the ages of 36 to 49. Good years for many women. Babies, jobs, friends, houses, decent husbands or not-so-decent husbands, decisions not to have children, but often for the right reasons, looking good, feeling reasonably healthy. But for others in that period, it can be difficult. Sometimes women feel their dreams are unfulfilled, and yet oftentimes, again, there's some wisdom that's coming to the surface. And slowly the woman is making certain minor and major changes that fit her uniquely. Some divorce, some adopt finally that Chinese baby girl, some start a business on the kitchen table, some are involved with their health and their looks. But still oftentimes if you're lucky, your health issues are minor. And the culture has become much kinder to older women. Goldie Hawn being my absolute example, my particular idol of somebody who has just taken our culture and wrapped it around her little finger and said, I'm glorious, and so what? And it's good. And then on June 8th, we'll discuss the older woman, 50 to 70-ish, maybe a little later, or we'll do that in other shows, the enchanted AARP woman, and I don't know about Sandy and Martha, but I can honestly say when I got my first AARP invitation and I was 45, I was like, wow, they're crazy. They must have me on the wrong list. But they, you know, what can I say? What can I say? They had the right list. Okay, so with that one, we're going to discuss consolidation of ourselves, rebirth. For many women, the utter enjoyment of getting older, that they can live out now their fantasy life to some extent. More women are climbing mountains and have new avocations than ever before. And for many, the body responds to exercise and salsa dancing and organic foods and minor facelifts, and it's a wonderful period of recouping oneself. The girl inside of her finally has a chance to come alive and play again, and we're delighted with what we are. Of course, there's loss. There's certain issues. How can we not have them if we live that long? And sometimes health plays a more dominant part. But there are many gifts during this period and many mistakes that can be avoided. So we want to look very carefully at the older woman, too. And I'm sure the agenda I'm putting forward is really going to somehow expand over many weeks. But we'll try to hold to it, at least initially, so that you can mark it on your calendars and make sure you hear the different ages. And with that said, we're going to leap today in just a very quick overview of the 7 gateways to happiness, which will be referred to many, many times as we go through the different ages. And anyone who wants a free copy of the 7 gateways to happiness, you go to my website, enchantedself.com, and I think right on the front page is some sort of icon or figure that'll take you to ordering it. It looks like you have to order it, but it all comes up 000, and then you get it in an email. So that may be very helpful to read my paper on the 7 gateways to happiness. And now I'm going to expand and include Martha and Sandy in our conversations. And remember, I'll just say very briefly that the Enchanted Self itself is a capacity for well-being and happiness for a woman that does integrate her history, her personal preferences, her talents, her potential, and it is something we can measure very scientifically but without instruments. We know when we're there, like we know the truth about anything in life that's crystal clear, and it's kind of a feeling that is an integration of mind, body, and spirit, and we just know when we are using and being with our enchanted selves. First gateway, honoring what is right about ourselves rather than what is wrong. And, you know, we're all experts, women, in identifying what's wrong with ourselves. We could probably now compose a list that could circle the globe with, if we just had a couple of thousand women, we'd come up with so many self-criticisms. But we need to turn that into positive ways that we can recognize our talents and our strengths and our lost potential and rebirth them again, because they are our roadmap to the future of ourselves. And very quickly, and then I want both Sandy to talk a little about resiliency and Martha to comment from the perspective of women and perhaps women who suffer with life's abuses and things come hard, but everyone can work their way through the gateways to happiness. I had this client who had very, very, very negative feelings about growing up with very critical parents. And certainly she didn't feel there was much to honor and find with pleasure back in her history. But long story short, after her therapy, and toward the end of her therapy, we discussed how she was recognizing that a lot of her interests and hobbies and her actual talents, she still absorbed and learned from her mother and father, even though she had problems with them. She learned to knit and crochet from her mother. She learned how to have a vegetable garden from her dad. She was very, very good at accounting and books and figures and numbers, and all of this had also been from her father. And she had some other domestic skills that were wonderful from her mom. However, she always felt that these people were critical by nature, and that was hurtful to her and put her down or insulted her. And now she was able to see that at work, she had turned what she saw from them into the opposite, like finding a coin and you turn it on the other side. And at work, she was the most pleasant person who never criticized, always had a good thing to say about people, always had a way to make a compliment. And not only was she beloved at work, but she really created a good atmosphere. So here's a gal who still utilized her past, both the negative and the positive. So Sandy, Dr. Sandy Prinzembri, from a resiliency point of view, what are we seeing? And what do you need to define?
Okay. Well, we covered the constructs that of resiliency that, mm-hmm. that I have identified in a previous show.
Yes, and they're all up there to hear.
But briefly, it's sense of mastery, sense of relatedness, and emotional reactivity are the three constructs. What I'm going to focus on right now with respect to the seven gateways, and particularly the first one, honoring what is right about ourselves, it's the first construct of sense of mastery. Research has shown that sense of mastery is a core foundation of feeling good about yourself, of positive self-esteem. And I think that that is something that sometimes people in general, women in particular, somehow don't get the hang of. That it's, first of all, that there are things that are that strengths that they identify about themselves, or I should say we identify about ourselves. And then secondly, that we can be proud about that and share that, because there's the modesty issue, that it's not ladylike to say something positive about yourself. So that's a sort of general overview of one of the reasons that sense of mastery is a problem that we don't do well enough and that we have to do better. Then the second part that I want to share, and actually this I haven't shared earlier, but I think it's an important point, that there was a study that was done that looked at what are the positive attributes for human beings. And this is the Broverman and Broverman study. And people listed a whole bunch of attributes, including autonomy, sense of mastery, feeling that you do things well, you're assertive, all of these nice things. Then they broke it down and they had people rate, and this actually included clinicians and professional healthcare workers, what are the positive attributes of males and what are the positive attributes of females. And what they found was that the positive attributes of males matched the positive attributes of human beings, whereas the positive attributes for females did not. So this is called the double bind, and that fits into why sometimes women start out with difficulty identifying their strengths and developing and keeping a sense of mastery, is that there's some discrepancy in the female role about what it means to be a healthy, self-loving, proud human being, and what it means to be a healthy and conforming female.
Wow, this is hot stuff. We'll have to come back to a whole show on this because it ties into a lot of the stuff that led to my first book, The Enchanted Self, A Positive Therapy, my own confusion over role identification. Wow, this is big stuff. We can't touch it more today except to whet our appetites. And you'll give the reference so we can put it up on my site. This is something somebody may want to research it. How does it dovetail with your work, Martha Trowbridge?
Well, as you know, I speak to women who are traumatized, depressed, agonized, grief-stricken, and for women who feel overwhelmed by these experiences, it's a huge and daunting task to develop a positive sense of yourself. And so I suggest if you don't feel positive about your current state of self, can you recall a time when you were generous, thoughtful, kind to someone else, or when you chose to behave morally rather than badly? And keeping this self-image in your consciousness is the beginning of your building a positive sense of self.
So again, if we dovetail with what Dr. Prinzembri is teaching us, it may be helpful, Martha, if they pick as their first things that they're going to keep track of, like being generous and so on, pick things that are harmonious with a female identification that works for that woman.
Right, exactly. Mm. And also it's helpful to work from this angle because when you're depressed and traumatized, you know, all sorts of really awful things are going on with your thoughts and your feelings, and you're quite distorted about everything. And so if you can bring yourself to a place where you can recall, I mean, I think every human being can recall one incident, at least, to get a start, during which she chose to do good. And I think that's a very good start to putting your mind back on track.
Thank you.
Can I jump in and add to that?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'd like to add that I think that's positive, but I'd also like to add that rediscovering areas where you feel a sense of mastery is important also, again, because that's the part of the female role that has not been nourished and cultivated, and it's those activities that you just spontaneously did, you know that you did them well and it felt good while you were doing it. Now, some of that has to do with caring for others and being thoughtful and pro-social, and I think that those memories may be more readily accessible. But I think it's also helpful to think back, what are the activities that I felt strong about? What are the activities that I did and they were somewhat effortless and I really liked the results and I felt good doing it? I think that looking back into our background and rediscovering some of those things is good material as well.
Very important. And this ties so much. I'm going to kind of merge gateways a little bit because we'll be cut off after probably 10 more minutes at the most. And people can get my paper and go over the 7 gateways to happiness, as I said, by coming to my site, Enchanted Self. Let's merge what you're saying with 3 of the gateways. The second gateway being falling in love with yourself and finding some way to see your life as a story worth telling, and that somehow there's a brilliance in it. You are the star, and you made it an exceptional story, you know. You found a way to make Act 3 just glorious in some way, and maybe that is that you're the first non-alcoholic in your family, or maybe you're the first woman who's holding an outside job successfully and also doing a darn good job raising kids. That gateway, with Gateway 3, which is learning what you need to learn and doing what you have to do, in succeeding for the gateways to happiness, you can't just want to have something happen and hope that by fluttering your eyelashes and a wink, you're going to make it happen, you know, or even visualizing all day. It's not going to happen unless you do the steps that are necessary. And most women, we've been intimidated, you know, a few tears here and there, a little bit of crying, maybe we'll get what we need to do. Well, hey, go out and get the degree you need or find some way to get the training you need, and you won't have to cry. It's a much better path to success. And the fourth gateway, which is replenishing yourself and not running on empty, finding some way to restore yourself and to get pleasure in daily life. So I think these three gateways really integrate around what you're sharing between starting a slow way of finding some ways that you really can be successful, and you can remember historically, you know, what you have done before, and also getting some
Shirley
level of
Johnson
energy.
Has Hello? Joined the conference.
Getting some level of energy. So let me just start again. Getting some level of energy, which we all need. So, Sandy or Martha, any quick comment around merging these gateways?
Well, I guess this is Sandy. I guess I would just say that being able to nourish ourselves at a very basic level is very important. And again, it's something that sometimes we learn and sometimes we don't. I think Martha can probably expand on this, but those of us who have had harsher, more difficult childhoods sometimes miss out on that internalized feeling of deserving protection and warmth and nourishment, and sometimes that needs to be relearned. And I think that giving oneself permission to feel that and engaging in an active retrospection about what are the things that really give me pleasure, what do I enjoy doing, and sometimes it's really an experiment. Really taking note, maybe writing a diary about what is it that I really feel good about, and then giving yourself permission to make time for those things.
We're worth experimenting on as long as it's good experimentation. Martha?
Well, I'm thinking of what I could add to this. I know we are short on time, and perhaps it might make sense to just move forward to the other gateways so we do get them all in, and I could hopefully add something worthwhile.
Candace House
has
joined the conference.
We're not going to be able to even cover them. In fact, we may get cut off in a minute. Let me just invite everybody to get the Gateways to Happiness paper at my website, Enchanted Self, and to stay with us. And we will continue to go through them so many times that you'll know them like the back of your hand. And thank you for coming to be with us today on Happiness for Women Only. We'll be back every week. You'll keep learning more and more. And I'm simply going to say goodbye for now.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only with her two guests. If you want to hear this interview all over again, please go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for a listener's enjoyment.